Hey, Kill Radio listeners. Katrina, Frequency and Phonology on Saturdays, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Andy, Pacho Andy is here with me.
Hi there.
Yay. Good, yeah, you sound okay, actually. I think that's all right. We have some nice Bollywood music for the background here.
Cool. So you think people can hear me out in Radio Land? My mic is working?
Yes.
Okay.
I do believe, and it sounds wonderfully.
I hear some faint reverb coming from behind me, so that's a good sign.
But it's only behind you. It's not in front of
you. Not in front of me.
You got it.
Okay.
So it's Coolio. So what's up, Andy? How's it going today?
It's all right, you know.
Yeah?
I just made my first official visit to my new... My first official visit to my new gym. I'm turning into a yuppie.
Turning into a hippie?
Yuppie.
A yuppie. Uh-huh.
Are we losing me?
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe
all
just
right.
Don't hold it too much with our
try.
Tenuous
yes.
Circumstance here.
There we go. Now it's coming in loud
Andy,
and clear.
Andy is discovering our delicate environment that we have here at Kill Radio.
It's
the delicacy of the environment.
It's like a fine antique timepiece in here, really.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the way I think about it, you know?
Works great until it doesn't.
It's like lace.
Exactly.
It looks beautiful until it falls apart on you, which is pretty much any time you touch it.
Right.
Oh, that was good. I just came up with that.
Nice. So what are we doing here?
I don't know. What are we doing?
It's your show.
I know, but you were supposed to tell me what to do today.
Okay, well,
I wasn't going to think about it.
Okay. Well,
No, I'm not going to leave you dry. I'm here too.
Thank
you. I'll help you figure it out.
Well, I guess what we talked about is I have a bunch of interviews that I've done with various potentially interesting people.
Andy's got his finger on the pulse of high music fashion.
You know, something like that.
He gets to do really fun interviews with people that you have heard of.
Right.
And I have heard of.
Surprisingly. For a website that you probably haven't heard of.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to get a plug in for them.
Yeah.
For my evil corporate bosses over at artistdirect.com.
Artistdirect.com.
Thank you. But yeah, I've been working there for a couple years as the managing editor is my official job title. And one of the cooler perks of the job, besides lots of free CDs, is that I occasionally get to interview people.
Yep.
And occasionally there are even people that I like or am interested in. Often they're not. I've interviewed some pretty obscure. I interviewed the bass player for Kasabian, for example.
Oh, yikes.
Which wasn't all that exciting,
yeah.
I have to say.
I would agree with that. I mean, I would assume.
Who else have I had to kind of suck it up and talk to? A couple of big name people that weren't of interest to me, but for the good of the site. I interviewed Ludacris.
That sounds kind of fun.
That'd
be fun.
He wasn't actually that interesting to talk to.
He's been in some movies, right? He was in that big movie.
This was before,
movie,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
He was in Krez. This was before any of his big roles, basically.
Okay.
Back when I interviewed him, it was like, oh, yeah, I've got these little indie movies coming out. And he mentioned Crash, and he mentioned, what was the Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow, yeah.
But the time I interviewed him, he was mostly famous as a rapper, and still is, really.
Right.
But... And for being singled out by Bill O'Reilly for having, like, too many foul lyrics in his songs stuff like that, yeah.
That's pretty impressive, actually, you know.
That's, you know, if
you
you're...
get singled out by Bill O'Reilly.
You know, it's true. If you're a rapper, it's kind of a good thing to have on
your
resume. Right.
Yeah.
But who else
kids
have I talked to? Harmar Superstar, which I thought was going to be interesting, but he was... Sorry, Harmar, if you're listening, because I'm sure you are.
He may be one of the four people listening right now.
Right, exactly. But Harmar was kind of a stiff, I have to say.
Didn't really kind of interact with you very much.
It was, you know, most of these 99% of the time I'm talking to people on the phone.
Right.
And it's very, very hard to do a phone interview because you can't see them, they can't see you. A lot of times the connection is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I did an interview just this past week with this pop star called Rihanna, who has the number one song in the country right now.
Rihanna?
Rihanna.
what the? I've never even heard of this Rihanna character.
You're obviously not with it.
So you, OTL.
You kids over here at Kill Radio.
Yeah.
With your,
Rihanna like Billboard pop number one or like country number one?
Just general singles chart, but she's pop slash R&B. But she has a song out right now called SOS that is...
Is that the takeoff on...
It samples...
Soft Cell?
It samples Tainted Love.
Oh, I've heard that one. I just didn't know her name.
That's her.
God, but, that pissed me off the first time I heard it. She even changed the lyrics. It's like she's singing different lyrics in the exact melody of Tainted Love.
Well, because it's not Tainted Love. It's a different song. But it samples Tainted Love.
Well, sounds like it is Tainted Love and she's singing different lyrics.
It almost is Tainted Love, yes. This is true.
Too close for my comfort. But,
anyway.
Was she cool?
She was very cool, but, you know, I was talking to her while she was on a cell phone in a car on a way to a concert somewhere. And so
that's how important she is.
She's a busy girl, our Rihanna. So, you know, it was difficult because, you know, she's distracted and the sound quality was terrible and I could barely hear her and I'm trying to record the thing and going, oh shit, is this gonna, can I say shit on Kill Radio?
Sure.
I'm going, oh shit!
No!
I'm never going to be able to remember what she said, and I can't hear anything, and how am I going to transcribe this later? And there's a lot of anxiety that goes into doing doing.
That's why you get paid so much.
That's why I get the big bucks.
That's why you
get
the big bucks. And you transcribe all of your interviews for the website?
Well, lately what we've been trying to do, and thanks to the wonders of modern technology we sometimes can, is we put them up... as audio streams or podcasts is the trendy word to call it.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, nobody reads anymore. So,
I sure don't.
And, but, you know, when like for this Rihanna interview, I had to transcribe it because you could barely hear her.
Okay.
So, but that's, so some of the interviews that I brought with me, some of them are up on... Wait, let me get another plug in here. ArtistDirect.com.
ArtistDirect.com.
Thank you. You can go to the site and look up some of these interviews and read them. And you can go to the site and look up some of these interviews and listen to them. It just depends on...
What variety?
Exactly.
A great choice.
We're all about variety at ArtistDirect.com.
That's how friendly you are.
Indeed.
Cyber-friendly.
But anyway, should I play like a few clips here?
Sure. Do you want to play one through your little dictaphone thing?
Well, I'm thinking because I've got some that are on old fashioned, old school cassette, and then I've got some that are the high tech on CD. But the problem with the CDs, you'd think that would be easier, but the problem is that you can't cue them up.
Right.
You just hit play and it starts at the beginning of the interview, which is
can jump through them.
Yeah, but I actually went through the cassettes this morning and queued a couple of them up to some of my favorite parts of certain interviews.
All right.
See, I plan, Katrina.
You rock.
I plan ahead.
You rock.
So, do you think I can just hold this sucker up to the microphone and the kids, our vast audience out there, can hear it?
You got it. You got it. That's a great way to do it.
Well, I think
because he knows if our cassette player.
You know what? Let's. I don't want to torment anyone by holding out leaving the best stuff for last. I'm going to start with the best stuff.
Dude, that's the way we do it here.
We
blow our load fast.
Exactly. So I'm gonna shoot my load here, and you kids can hear this, and then you can go off and spend the rest of your Sunday afternoon doing something else. But you have to stick around for this because this is
so cool. Okay.
This is me talking to. This was actually my favorite interview, and it was probably like the second or third one I ever did for Artist Directed. It's still my favorite interview. I got to talk to William Shatner.
Oh, that's right.
And William Shatner is not only... He's
Shatner.
Fucking William Shatner.
I
so,
know!
You know.
Just that's enough.
Right. He could have been a total stiff, and I still would have been like, I got to talk to William Shatner!
Although then you'd be like, he's such a jack-off.
Right. But he's actually like a really interesting, intelligent, very gracious guy. And he was really interesting to talk to. And I was talking to him about his album, Has Been.
Right.
Which he did with one of my biggest musical heroes, who's Ben Folds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was made it sort of extra special interesting to me to talk to him about how that project came about and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And but he's also, of course, famous for Star Trek. And T.J. Hooker.
And of course, T.J. Hooker.
And a few other things. But in the world of music, he's he's probably still to this day best known for an album he did in the 60s called The Transformed Man.
Oh, right, yeah.
That mm-hmm. featured spoken word renditions of Lucy in the Sky right, with Diamonds.
Right, which I played on my show.
Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. And it was... He did it very seriously and very earnestly, and it kind of became a joke after the fact.
Do you think that hurt him? Did you talk to him about that?
I talked
that?
To him about that.
Oh, look at that.
That's
segue.
What we're about to hear.
Right on.
Segue.
All
so,
right, so here's, go ahead and play it.
Here's Shatner. Hopefully, this is audible. You might have to. This might work better if you turn the background music off because
sure.
he's hard to hear since he was talking to me on a phone.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready. I'll pull it down.
Good.
Hey, you're listening to this on killerradio.org.
There you go. Got to call out the station.
Is it, I guess it's fair to say that your first album, the Transformed Man, was, I guess we could say, misunderstood over the years.
Thank you for that.
So were you sort of nervous given that earlier experience that people weren't going to get this album as well?
Well, the Transform Man, good, bad, or indifferent, didn't work because the cuts were too long. With the literature and the song attached to the literature, they did a 6-minute cut, and I wasn't conscious of the necessity of keeping it close to 3 minutes.
Right.
So nobody ever played the 6-minute cut, so nobody... The listening audience didn't get a sense of what it was I was trying to do.
Yeah, people didn't really get the full picture of what the album was about. They
exactly, unless they played the album.
Right.
The entirety. And once they did that, a lot of people, like Ben Folds, said it had an important influence on him.
Right.
So, I was aware that... that I had to be careful in that regard, but also we were aware that the people who scoffed at the Transformed Man might do so, might be preconditioned.
Right.
That on has been. So we had to be very careful, especially for the first number.
Right, which is Common People, which is a cover of a Pulp song, right?
Say that again?
When the first track being Common People, which is a cover of a Pulp song.
Exactly. So we were very conscious of the selection of the first number.
Right.
And I thought it was a brilliant choice on Ben's part. It was his choice and my reluctance in the beginning until I heard it in its completion and realized that it was a great choice. That it had a story for me to be able to act, if you will.
Right.
It had a rhythmic progression. And then putting Joe Jackson in it was inspired, so it made it musical as well. It wasn't just spoken word.
Right.
So
there you go. I think that's enough of Shatner. You get the idea.
Yeah. All right.
And I saw Katrina... digging through her iTunes there for do you have Common People?
No, I don't. Unfortunately,
damn.
I don't have Common People. I only have one called Together that I don't even know how much of William Shatner it has in it, but
oh, you
it
know,
says
you could,
it does have William Shatner in it.
Together actually is the for people who don't know this, that you know Shatner put out an album about 2 years ago now called Has Been that was kind
yeah.
of him and Ben Folds kind of doing like a updated version of the Transformed Man almost. And
uh-huh.
it doesn't have any covers on it. It's all Shatner's own spoken word musings, but
mm-hmm.
they're all set to music by Ben Folds. And they got Joe Jackson's on the album. Amy Mann is on the album. Henry Rollins is on the album.
Wow.
Which is a good segue because I interviewed Henry Rollins
yeah,
and I'll play a little bit
next.
Of him later.
Uh-huh.
But there is a track on there called Together, which was actually produced by Lemon Jelly.
Oh.
And features William Shatner.
No,
and so,
I think what I may have is a remix.
Well,
so
go ahead and play it anyway.
Let's see what we have here, and you can experience
that's a segue. What the heck?
More of William Shatner. And if you want to talk to Andy about his wonderful interview skills or who he's interviewed or anything else like that, and we can put you on the air, you can call 213-252-0998 and talk to us. So that's 213-252-0998. Give us a call and talk to us. And then otherwise, let's give you some togetherness.
51. You should read those again. Have fun with them. The void is starting to affect you, and your pale fellow well met.
Oh. Please don't tell me how to do it.
Wasn't that lovely?
That was lovely.
Lovely and soothing all at the same time.
With just a hint of angst.
Yes.
Yet soothing.
Yes, the angst.
And...
the angst.
And Katrina here on Kill Radio has just provided a lovely segue for us because... We're doing interviews today.
It's interview day on Frequency and Phrenology.
Famous people. I, Andy Herman of ArtistDirect.com.
Nice.
Have gotten to talk to.
Got that in there again.
And as coincidence would have it, we were looking at Katrina's playlist and she had a Thievery Corporation track in. And I said, hey, I've got an interview with Thievery Corporation.
Yeah.
So there you go. So should I play a little bit of this?
Yeah, you want me to pull out the music while you're playing it?
Yeah, well, real quick, let me just to set up, because I'm trying to bring you kids out there in Radio Land the best, you know, not just
the
playing.
The best in pop.
Because the truth is, when you're interviewing people, especially when they're phone interviews, and a lot of times people are, like, rolling out of bed and getting on the phone and talking to you, and a lot of times you're one of, like, six people in a row that they have to basically do the same interview with. And
wow.
Sometimes...
drag.
Long stretches of the interview can actually be pretty boring.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to pull out some like parts that are actually more interesting.
So we're getting the pre-edited version.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're getting the highlights.
Thank you,
the
Andy.
Greatest hits, you might say.
Yeah.
But when I interviewed Thievery Corporation, it was their most recent album, The Cosmic Game, was just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was really curious to talk to them about was this was the first album they'd ever done that they always use guest vocalists because they're producers. They mm-hmm. don't sing. So mm-hmm. the tracks that have vocals always feature somebody else. And they have kind of a rotating cast of regular collaborators that they work with. But on this particular album, The Cosmic Game, they decided for the first time to bring in some kind of heavy hitters. And so The Flaming Lips are on it. Perry Farrell is on it. Mm-hmm. David Byrne is on it. And so I thought, that's interesting. So I was curious.
Because they're still pretty independent, right?
They're very independent. I mean, they still run their own record label and their own club out of Washington, D.C. So I was kind of curious to ask them about, you know, what made them choose to work with bigger name artists this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that... in
here's
the interview,
what they had to say.
Notice the clever way in which I couch my question in order to sort of ask them something provocative without getting them pissed off at me.
Good.
It's the Fox News technique, actually. Fox News does this all the time. Fox News will spread rumor and innuendo by having their pundits say, some people...
Right. Yeah, I saw it boxed.
Well, I start off a question by saying, now some people...
say.
Do you know what? When you're an interviewer, it's a great trick.
Good.
So here you go.
Okay.
Oh, some people, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but just to throw this out there, some people would probably accuse you of making a deliberate attempt to get more attention in the American market by bringing in more high-profile vocalists. Is that, how do you respond to something like that?
I think that's fair. I mean, if we had a little bit more attention, it wouldn't be a bad thing for us.
Sure.
I don't think we're really trying to go way over the radar too much, you know. We just like doing our thing, and generally that's what we do, is we just, you know, work in our studio with our kind of unknown group of players, you know. But after a while, you know, you really do want to kind of branch out. You know, in many ways.
Sure.
This was just one way to branch out.
Sure.
And
I have to say, in fairness to you guys, it is weird that, you know, like just earlier today, I was mentioning this interview to one of my coworkers who, he's not the most knowledgeable guy about music around here, but, you know, he's pretty up on what's coming out these days. And he actually sort of had the vague impression that you guys were not American.
Yeah, we get that a lot. Yeah, we do.
So it does seem like, you know, it's weird that even though you're based not only in America but in our nation's capital, but it seems like your music has reached a wider audience elsewhere than it has in this country.
Yeah, I just think that was part of the, you know, direction of the earlier part of our career. You know, most of our listeners in the beginning were in Europe.
Right.
And that was the case probably for the first I don't know, year or two. And it took a while for things to even out.
Right.
But they did, you know. I mean, really, America's become a great place for us to tour. And, you know, we seem like we have a lot of people who are, you know, listening to our music here as well
right.
now. So.
Does it seem more and more now like you're able to reach an audience in this country even without radio play?
Yeah, I think so. I have this kind of naive hope that people in general are turning their backs on a lot of, you know, very, very high-profile mainstream media, you know,
right.
whether it's news or commercial radio. I mean, I just think it's, I think it might be a trend in our society at the moment.
I actually kind of share your same naive optimism.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
So there you go. That was,
Oh no, you were just on. Yeah. Try it again. Like hit it or jiggle it. Did that work?
Am I back?
Yeah.
There we go.
See how well it works to hit a microphone?
Kill radio, man.
Kill
like
the microphone.
Like a fine antique watch that
you
just
got
have
it.
To shake sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So that was, if I remember correctly, that was Rob Hilton from Thievery Corporation. I got to talk to both guys, but that was just a snippet of my interview with Rob. And I thought that was kind of cool, his response to my trying to call him out on hiring more mainstream artists to do vocals
yeah.
for them, and him basically saying, well,
we
do want to get a wider audience. Like, okay.
And it sounded like they were kind of interested in actually working with people that they knew of, and at this point in their career, when they've had a little bit more notoriety, that they could actually get to people like
right.
Perry Farrell
right.
and, you know, all these
right.
people that they maybe had heard of forever
right.
and wanted to work
well,
with.
Well, I won't get a chance to play it now, and as you noticed, Rob is a very, very slow talker too, so if I played the rest of the interview, it would take up the entire rest of our show.
Not bad.
But he talked about that he and Eric, the other guy in Thievery Corporation, met Perry Farrell at some music conference or something like that, and Perry Farrell was
likely.
Like giving a speech to a bunch of industry people,
uh-huh.
and he sort of name-checked Thievery Corporation as someone he was a big fan of, and
wow.
and they were like, really? Perry Farrell likes our stuff? Because, you know, they were... One of the guys in Thievery Corporation, Eric, was an old, you know, like, punk rock Fugazi fan from
mm-hmm.
way back. And he was also a big Jane's Addiction fan later
mm-hmm.
on. And,
mm-hmm.
and but never occurred to him that anyone in Jane's Addiction would listen to Thievery Corporation. So,
uh-huh.
so on the basis of just hearing that, they just kind of contacted Perry Farrell without ever having met him.
Uh-huh.
And said, you know, hey, would you like to do a track with us?
Right.
And he said yes. And so there you go.
And who else is on the album that they just came out with?
The other big names on the album are David Byrne does a track with them, and they do a track with the Flaming Lips.
Oh, right. And then the rest of them are just their kind of usual cast of characters.
The rest of them are kind of their usual cast of obscure vocalists. Many
uh-huh.
of whom sing in languages other than English, which is probably why people like my friend at work always assume Thievery Corporation were not American.
Right.
Because half their vocals are not in English.
Yeah.
You
and
know.
They just don't, you know, they don't sound like the usual American, well, definitely not the American pop sound.
Right.
But
right.
they're just definitely a more independent sound that you would think
right.
came out of Europe.
I learned an interesting piece of trivia from them, too,
mm-hmm.
which is if a soundtrack album goes gold or platinum,
uh-huh.
every single contributing artist on that soundtrack gets a gold or a platinum record.
So we've got to get on a soundtrack album that goes gold or platinum so we can get one.
Exactly.
Oh, Andy,
we got to start
working.
I know. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Thievery Corporation, they actually got a gold record because they were featured on the Garden State soundtrack.
Oh, sweet.
Which sold
yeah.
500,000 copies. So
yeah.
there you go.
Excellent.
That's,
they deserve it. They're a good entity.
They are.
Whatever
are.
You call them.
Yes. You should all listen to more Thievery Corporation.
They're good. They're
this
good stuff.
This is Kill Radio telling you to listen
Automatons.
To more Thievery Corporation.
Listen to more. All right. I've got a Jane's Addiction song queued up then because we were talking about Jane's Addiction and Perry
and
Farrell.
Perry Farrell, who I haven't yet interviewed Perry Farrell. But,
oh, really?
But if he's listening, I'd love to. You're an interesting
Perry,
guy, Perry.
If you're listening, bring your sweet voice over here to
yeah,
Kill Radio.
Yeah, there you go. Call in.
Have you ever heard of this one?
sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, that was Alpha Shemale. So that was Alpha Shemale with Messy Stench, one of our lovely DJs. And Kill Radio is going to be having a benefit coming up pretty soon, so listen up for that.
I was your boyfriend when we were 15. It's the happiest that I've ever been. Even though we didn't understand how to do much more than just hold hands, there's so much about you I miss. The clumsy way we used to kiss. I wish I convinced you you'd made a mistake. In memory serves, we still have a break. Other girls went and other girls came. I can't get over my old friend. I'm still in love with Emily Kane. Every girl that I've seen since looks just like you when I squint. I know you said it's for the best. I still don't understand why you left. So much about you I miss. Every time I see a couple kiss, I hope this song finds you fame. Old school kids on buses singing your name. Other girls went and other girls came. I can't get over my old friend. I'm still in love with Emily Kane. I don't even know where she lives. Not seen her in 10 years. 9 months, 3 weeks, 4 days, 6 hours, 13 minutes, 5 seconds.
Listening to Kill Radio and Katrina's show Frequency and Phrenology.
Hey, hey.
There she is.
Yeah.
And that was a Black Flag song recorded live that we stole off their website, frankly.
I think we stole it off of somebody else's website, actually.
Oh,
I don't
was
know.
It? Okay.
It's something called shavedneck.com.
Shavedneck.com. Shout out to shavedneck.com
Thanks.
For providing us with a... a little impromptu live version of what song was that again? What were we listening
Nervous
to?
Nervous Breakdown, I think.
Nervous Breakdown, yeah. By Black Flag.
Yeah.
Which segues to another one of the interviews that I brought in today to share with
Happy
you
Rollins!
All.
Woo!
Actually, pretty cool interview. I got to talk to Henry Rollins. Again, this is Andy from ArtistDirect.com.
ArtistDirect.com.
Thank you. we could just do that all day.
I'll do a little audio plug for
you. ArtistDirect.com. anyway.
Like, this is Dr. Groovy, and yeah. I look at ArtistDirect.com.
So, but anyway, yes, I got to interview Henry Rollins, and we will be featuring him probably on our homepage in about 2 weeks.
Check it out
on ArtistDirect.com. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop doing that now because even I'm getting annoyed.
Me too.
But Henry Rollins has a new show on the Independent Film Channel called, coincidentally enough, The Henry Rollins Show. And the guy who you heard just singing that track is now a talk show host.
He's also got a show on a radio station, on a broadcast radio station here in Los Angeles that I don't know if I should name.
that shall remain nameless, exactly. But
what the heck? Oh, that's your
that's
phone.
That's my phone causing interference.
It's like, it's like a Bell Biv DeVoe song.
It's a friend of mine probably trying to call me while I'm like talking on the radio.
I wonder if they're trying to call 213-252-0998 and they're not getting through.
Is that the number that they're... Oh, maybe. You know, I should probably check my voicemail on this next break. But
okay.
Anyway, so I got to talk to Henry, and I mostly talked to him about his show, and I talked to him a little bit about his old Black Flag days. And then I got off on a complete sidetrack, which you will not hear on Artist Direct, because his management wasn't all that cool with it.
Did they actually kind of listen to the interview and decide what you could?
Oh yeah, they approved
his management.
His management had to approve the interview.
Oh my God! So they edited it for you?
No, to be fair, I sent them an edited version that I broke into two sections. One of which was more on topic, and one of which was me and Henry talking politics.
Okay.
And basically, their response was, well, we'd prefer that you not use the political one. Or if you do, that you put some kind of intro or outro that promotes his show. Because we don't talk about his show anywhere in it.
Oh. Okay.
And the only purpose of them having me interview him was so he could promote his show.
Free advertising, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So you lucky, lucky folks listening to Kill Radio are going
to get
to hear
the special one.
The part. The interview that Henry Rollins' management doesn't want you to hear.
Should we play it now?
Yeah, go ahead. Right. We're not going to play the whole thing, I think, because it does kind of ramble a little bit, but we'll play like a couple minutes of it.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, Henry's a talker, in case you kids don't know him.
He's a talker, a writer.
He talks and talks and talks, but it was a cool interview. So, yeah, let's go ahead and play it.
All right, check that out.
It seems like everybody right now is trying to get political with their music. You know, Neil Young has this album out. Pearl Jam's put a song out called Worldwide Suicide. You could argue even that Green Day's American Idiot was sort of a political album. Do you feel like any of this is having any effect at all? I mean, what's your take on protest music in this day and age?
I think that those kind of times make... Or, you know, the artists, you know, some artists will either feel the need to get up or will get up. I think the Vietnam War wasn't a good thing, but the Vietnam War sure made the Stooges and the MC5 and you know, imagery and all of that happen, for
right.
sure. So I think in those times, art, music will respond.
Right.
And, I think this time would be no different. Guys like Neil Young, I mean, he was there the first time around. With
right.
And this to him is probably like, oh, here we go again. He puts on his sword and shield and heads out into it. You know, I'm sure Joan Baez is sharpening her blade. And, you know, there's lots of people who are, you know, getting ready to do battle or
right.
are doing it. Yeah, so I, it's not.
But I mean, do you get the sense that any of it is having an effect? I mean, do you feel like art is because?
No, I don't think ever a song can stop a war or any of that. You know, to me, all the great protest, you know, bands have been, you know, have come. I mean, in that, if a Bob Dylan song couldn't stop the war, then it can't be stopped.
Right.
So that's my take on that.
Right.
I'm not saying there's like good music to come and all of that. All I'm saying is, between Bob Dylan and Bob Marley, if a song was going to stop a war, I think the wars would have come to an end, because you're not going to get any finer than those two.
Sure.
I mean, there might be people as good, but you're never going to eclipse Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix,
right,
Jefferson Airplane. You know, people who are in the moment doing that stuff, MC5. I mean, that stuff will be, you know, never bettered. It'll just be awed and,
right,
you know, appreciated.
Right. And I suppose in a way you could say the same thing about, you know, back when you were doing Black Flag. I mean, punk music was, there almost didn't have to be a literal message in the lyrics for the music to be political. I mean, the music was political.
Well, yeah, but I tell you what, I think that you can have change, you can affect consciousness, you can cause awareness. I mean, anything that makes young people think,
mm-hmm,
great. Anything that gets young people inspired to vote,
mm-hmm,
like that. And if it's an album, if someone wants to vote because the guy in Green Day said, hey, you know, you all 18-year-olds, you better vote this time around.
Right.
Well, okay, if it took that guy saying that to get you inspired, great. I'm just glad you're now thinking about voting, because I think, you know, I'm one of those people who really thinks you should do that. I really believe in that. We should be voting and reading the newspapers and reading those books and, you know, having an opinion on the Dubai ports deal and this and that. I mean, gee, it's not that important. It's only your country.
Right.
And, you know, I think young people especially, because I hate to be, you know, sound like I'm hugging some tree and jumping into Alan Alda's frock, but it really is the world they're inheriting.
Right.
This country, it's really theirs really fast, really soon, with China as a rising economy, with India as a rising economy, with petroleum being a thing that we really should get off of.
Right.
And I think, you know, the Bush administration, boy, they're going to hold on to petroleum. You're going to get it out of their dead hands.
Right.
You say ethanol, and they you know, it burns. But it's going to be young people, I think, going like, you know what? How the hell did Brazil beat us to ethanol?
Right.
Oh, because no one took this thing, you'll find out that we probably had ethanol on the board since the 50s.
Right.
But, you know, every president from Roosevelt to now and oil joined together at the hips. So it's going to be another generation is going to go in and go, you know what? Time to do something different, because I don't want my kid coming up in a place where there's no fish, no trees, and everyone hating us.
Right.
That would be, that's awful to me, that any country would fear us.
Right.
Even the bad guys, and there are bad guys. It sucks, but there's bad guys.
Of course.
Like Iran. I do not judge Iran by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Because I know they have like this young population who wants shit. They probably come to my gig.
Right. They want change too.
iPods. They want the internet. They want to communicate. They want to come to New York. They want to go to Tokyo.
Yep.
They want to learn. They want to be in the world. They don't want Sharia. They don't want, you know, veils. They don't want zero literacy. They don't want, you know, whatever they're doing over there. And so how can I be, I don't like Ahmadinejad. I mean, he doesn't like Israel, and, you know.
Right.
But I also don't like Condoleezza Rice going, no, we're not talking to him anymore. We're just going to get a bunker buster bomb to bust his bunkers. You're like, you know what? You suck, too. and I'm hoping that the next shift comes in and goes, okay, time to get to work.
Yeah, but it seems like that's a hard thing for people to do, is to have the perspective that you were just talking about, that what people always seem to want to do is to take a side. And it sounds like what you're talking about is that sometimes, you know,
fixing the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might have to look at your friends on the other side of the aisle to do that.
Exactly.
Eventually, this country is going to have to get depolarized. Bush has, you know, there's one, you know, he says, I'm going to be a uniter, not a divider. Well, he's united about 70% of the population.
Against him.
Who thinks he's doing a crap job?
Right.
So he's got 70% of us together. He's just got to work on the 30 and get the fuck out of office, and we'll be good to go. So this country, I don't want to hate conservatives. I don't want to hate Republicans. I'm really not into that. I'm not into this idea like all Republicans bad, all Democrats good. I mean, come on. If only the world was that simple.
Right.
It's, unfortunately, it's not, and we all know it.
Right.
So eventually we're going to have to sew the country back together and respect our friends on the other side of the aisle and work together.
Right.
I know that sounds kind of like, you know, hug and kiss and make nice, but you know what? That's the only way it's going to work. Because you have brilliant and powerful people on both sides. And if they keep clashing, who gets screwed? The middle class, the lower class.
Right.
Non-whites, immigrants, gays, you know, everyone who can't fight back necessarily.
Right.
The ones who lose their fingers in the gears of the machine.
Yep.
So, you know, we got to, you know, as conscientious Americans, we're going to have to get back together. And Bush has done a great job on walling us off from each other. I mean, I never woke up every single day pissed at somebody. Like, I wake up every day pissed at Bush.
You guys are bad fighters. Shit.
DC, freeze.
We'll be right back.
Black Flag, thank you. We appreciate your tunage.
So we actually lied, or at least I lied. I said we were only going to play a little bit of that interview with Henry Rollins, and we wound up playing the whole thing because it was just, once we started playing it, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. We should just...
It was too good to stop.
We had
to just keep on going.
And plus, I knew that line about Bush was coming at the end, and
ooh,
I was like...
that was just beautiful.
I was like, the kids have got to hear Henry Rollins saying he wakes up every morning pissed off at George W. Bush.
Couldn't imagine that, could you?
No.
But yeah, it's just the way he said it. It was just poetic.
Yeah.
You know?
No, he was really fun to talk to.
That's awesome.
And you should all watch his show on the Independent Film Channel. There, I gave my plug.
Yes.
Saturday nights at 10.
Independent Film Channel. Good. Well, I'll check it out. I like the old Hank.
That's assuming you get the Independent Film Channel, which I don't. But
oh, I do.
You know.
I'll
come over and watch it at your place.
Yeah. There you go. We'll have a Hank showing. And here, I'll give you my really quick Hank story. Of course, he's from D.C.
Oh, right. As are
you. As I am from D.C. And I once read a book that he wrote. Shoot, I'm not going to remember which one it was, but it was one of his books that he wrote. And
he's written like 50.
Something about coffee, of course, like black coffee or something. And because that's really all he does, drug-wise, is coffee.
Right.
And in the book I was reading, and he was talking about working at this Haagen-Dazs ice cream place, you know, on Wisconsin Avenue in Georgetown, which at that time, when I was in high school, while I was reading this book, that's where I was working.
Oh, wow.
And I just felt like I had this big connection with Hank because I worked at the same Haagen-Dazs where
you
were
following in his footsteps.
In his hand steps. And getting the really big buff forearm because Haagen-Dazs ice cream is so frozen hard.
So you had Henry Rollins' forearms, too.
By the time
you were done with that job,
I had his forearms. Yeah, I wouldn't say I got that buff. Thank God. But I sure did a lot of the whippets.
Ooh! Oh, did you? No, you didn't. You did not just say that on the air. Oh, my God. I'm shocked.
That's what you get to do at Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
I worked at a Friendly's in high school, so I know
I've heard your Friendly's.
I know
stories.
All about the Whippets. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, you know.
Anyway.
Thanks
for having.
Not too much, but you know. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Say your thank you.
I was. Can I be fawningly grateful to you now,
can
Katrina?
I get a thank you. Yeah.
No, thank you for having me on the show. This was fun.
Awesome. Yes, thanks for coming. I totally appreciate your interviews. They're so much fun, and I didn't do them. So, you know, it's great to have them, and I didn't do them.
If you play your cards right, I might be back with another batch.
Yeah,
we scratched the surface, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. There was a bunch of others I wanted to play.
Give them a teaser for other ones we didn't play.
Come back.
Do you want to?
Sometime. I don't know which next
episode. No. The other ones that you have.
Oh, the other ones we have on the site. Yes. If you go to if you go to artistdirect.com, the place to find all of our cool content is if you go to our site, in the upper left-hand corner of our homepage, you will see a button called What's Hot.
Yeah.
That's sort of a lie. There is some hot current content on that page, but there's also just like archives of like all the old crap that we still have floating around. And so if you go to the What's Hot page,
good crap.
There's a whole section of archived interviews, and you can see some of the people that we've talked to. Not just me, we have some freelancers too, but we have interviews up there with trying to even think like who else. Michelle Schacht, Weezer, Pinback, Chaos.
Oh, you just did that one, right? That Pinback one?
That was actually a while ago that we did that.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't me. It was one of our freelancers did it for us.
You're going to see them soon. That's what I was
I'm going
about.
To see them soon. Yeah, okay. That's right. Really kind of an interesting punk band called Anti-Flag. not to be confused
Black
with Black Flag, right? Exactly.
White Flag, Red Flag.
I don't know who else we got a bunch of kind of interesting people on there. You know, Little John, Ludacris, if you're into that hip hop crap.
Look out, man.
I know. They're gonna come get me now for saying that.
Take you down.
That's right. And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead we have on there.
Oh, my old drummer would have liked that.
A British band called Razor Light, who some people out there are big fans of. A singer-songwriter who I love named James McMurtry, who most people haven't heard of. But yeah. I was really excited to do an interview with him.
Cool.
And coming up on the site, over the next couple weeks, we will be featuring interviews with Rihanna, who we all know about
you
now.
You just did that.
The one who ripped off Soft Cell. And who
Damn
else?
It.
Cheap Trick. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick I got to talk to.
Classic godfather of music.
The lords of Israeli psytrance, Infected Mushroom. I interviewed
them. Holy mackerel.
So that'll be
even
up.
I know what that is.
Eagles of Death Metal. Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal.
Rock on.
He was really fun to talk to. And a bunch of others. There's all kinds of stuff on there.
All right, so we're going to have Poncho Andy back on Frequency and Phrenology to help us out with molding our minds with sounds and thoughts,
okay,
et cetera.
Yeah, you talked me into it.
And I'll bring more beer and chips for him, too.
It was the beer and chips, actually. That was what
I provided
me.
Him beer and chips, so that's what did it. We know the truth. But anyways, all right, time for us to sign off. DJ Chicken Leather is up next with Talk Is Still Cheap, hopefully, and his Black Woman sidekick, so stay tuned. Other than that, we'll let you listen to a couple more songs. We've got some Jimi Hendrix just because Hank mentioned Jimmy, and so I thought I'd play this one. But other than that, you all take care. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Keep on listening to the old killradio.org. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
There is one. You're right. There are a lot of people get killed.
Traffic accidents. There's too many cars out here.
That's a disagreement.
That's a foolish argument.
What's foolish about it?
The 55 Morning Show.
I want to lay the problem out realistically.
Smell the coffee, if you will.
Weekdays 5 till 9 on 55 KRC.